You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward. Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Ron Kitchen. Ron, what's happening, man?
Not much. I'm just ready for you to guide us through this next I'll do my best.
My goodness. As a matter of fact, this is an exciting topic today because this is a podcast for those of you who want to get started. Those of you who want to launch something new in your life, you got a dream or a vision or a business idea. How do you get out of the blocks and start running fast? We're going to talk all about it right now. So, Ron, new initiatives, new business, new ideas, new strategies are a normal part of business. Yet, we yearn for status quo. What is the mindset of a leader who's a starter?
Well, that's a great question. You know, for me and those that are within my sphere, it really is the idea that we've talked about Bob Goff before. It's a little like Bob Goff's idea that he can't take anything new unless he quits something. If you'll remember, Bob Goff quits something every Thursday. So that he builds capacity so he can start new things. Because we know there are things in our lives, in our businesses, in our organizations, in our not-for-profits that we need to quit, that aren't producing the results we need. Or we're raising money for a cause and it's been solved. So now what do we do with those capacities? So I think great leaders are always planning for their organization's transition to the next thing after the last thing's been solved or been completed.
Now, for something to be new or innovated upon, there has to be vision. Vision is at the core of new things, right? Being able to see it first is so important. Talk to us about vision and what vision really is when you're trying to start a new initiative. Let's take Catalyst University, for example. All of you know about Catalyst University. By the way, you probably want to go to catalystuniversity.me and get your tickets. Now would be a good time to do so. But when you launched it, when you started it, there was a vision. You could see something other people couldn't see. Talk us through that process.
Thanks for the commercial, too, if you didn't catch that as the commercial for Catalyst University.
You told me I could drive, baby.
So Catalyst University is a leadership conference that we started with the idea that we needed to create a common knowledge, a common language, common ideas around leadership. And those ideas, that knowledge, that leadership wasn't just for not-for-profits or just for for-profits or just for education or just for local government. It was for all of those groups. You know, Jim Collins gave great advice when he said, you can focus on business, but if you do, you can be prosperous, but you'll never be great. You have to focus on those other four sectors too. So we really were looking at a way we could lift up and create this common energy around greatness. So it's now, you know, 2,500 people show up. The first time it was, I don't know, 140 or 160 people who came. But that's something that leaders know when you're trying new initiatives. You don't use all your ammunition at once. Great leaders know that it's just like great tactical sailors. When they're fighting a war at sea, you don't see the ship off in the horizon and send all of your ammunition all at once. You take one shot at a time, you narrow in your focus, you begin to refine where the target is. And then once you've hit the target, then you know you can pour on the ammunition. And for us, it's the same way. So we began with 160. We thought, well, this works. Let's go to 500. That worked, but we didn't grow from there. We stayed at 500 again the next year. Then we went to 800. Then we doubled again, you know, and now we're at 2,500 people coming. But that didn't happen overnight. And too many leaders, whether point leaders established or emerging, think that you've got to hit the pinnacle of success within the, you know, the first 90 days. And the reality is that's not what long-term success looks like.
Well, we're going to stay there on defining what success looks like and how to get something started. You know, we're in economic development and business development, And so it amazes me how many people come to my office or your office or anybody on our business development team's office saying, hey, I want to open a new car wash. I want to open a new Italian restaurant. I've got a new clothes hanger that I think is going to revolutionize closets. And I simply turn around and say, did you do a Google search to see if anybody else is doing it in the area? And inevitably, the answers are no. I didn't even look to see if somebody else was doing it. And so a Google search would be one helpful hint to see if you want to start something, to see if somebody else is doing it. What are the other small practical steps people should take as they're developing their new launch initiatives?
Ask your customers. As you know, and I think most listeners know that we also operate in the private equity world. And I'm amazed the number of people who come to us and they want investments in their business, but they want us to sign a non-disclosure because their business is so secretive and such a great idea that nobody's ever thought of it. They're so scared to talk to anybody. They haven't actually talked to any customers
right,
to see if anybody would even buy this product. So the first thing you have to do is you have to know there's a market for it. And I hear this at least once a month from somebody who comes in who says, well, I'm just like Steve Jobs and the iPod. I am creating something that nobody knew they needed. Well, hold it. Everybody had Walkmans. Everybody wanted portable music. Steve Jobs just figured out how to put more music on
in the Walkman
than the Walkman had. And oh, by the way, he didn't invent MP3 players. They were already done. He just figured out how to take it from about 50 songs to 1,000 songs in that little box. So entrepreneurs get fixated on that their idea's great, and they don't check Google. And, you know, you gave great examples, but we had a lady in a few years ago looking for an investment. She developed a tool where her husband had passed away because of diabetes, and so you could measure your blood using this device on your iPhone, much like a square. Then it would transmit it to your doctor. You'd have real-time data and communications. And it was the only person ever done it. She'd spent over $100,000 on the prototype for this. And we asked the Google question. She said, oh, there's no reason to do it. There's nothing out there in the market. Well, we found out Sony had been doing it for 4 years.
Sure.
And, I mean, it was one of the toughest meetings I ever had in my life. So you got to do your research. You got to know if anybody wants to buy this thing. And then you got to know if you can really do it. You know, we get a lot of entrepreneurs who come in. So you want to be guaranteed to get thrown out at my office pretty fast. Come in and tell me you got an idea. And in 90 days or 120 days or 3 years, we're all going to be billionaires. And refer to yourself as a unicorn. You're out the door. Because that doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
But you better want to run this company. You better want to live, sleep, and breathe it. You better be willing to sleep under your desk to make this work. Otherwise, you just don't have a right to take up space on the planet to just do something that's going to fail because you think you had a good idea.
So starting something is not only scary. We had a podcast about first and going first, and it's often a lonely, scary, anxious-ridden thing. How do you deal with fear and anxiety when you want to launch?
So you better have it. If you don't have fear or anxiety, you better figure out a way to get it, or frankly, you're not pushing the envelope enough. So when we started Catalyst University, as an example, chairman of our board, I went to him and said, hey, here's what I want to do. Here's what it's going to do. Here's what our initial investment's going to be. Here's what I think the business model looks like. We went through that, and he said, all right, let me tell you, I'm with you, win or tie.
Win or tie.
Win or tie.
Yeah, we're missing one.
Yeah, and he said, you got to know, you lose, you're on your own on this. Now, it's probably not going to cost you your job, but you need to act like it is. You need to go into this with a belief. Otherwise, you're not going to execute. When people come at you and tell you it's not going to work, you're going to go, oh, well. Yeah, darn. You know what? If you can say darn and go start something else, you probably didn't want it bad enough. You got to want it at a level that it oozes from your pores. You got to want it at a level your spouse says, quit talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, in my case, my wife would say, can you quit talking about that and go back to looking at Facebook on your phone at dinner? I'm tired of hearing about 269 Magazine. I'm tired of hearing about, you know, Consultant Connect. That's how bad you got to want it. You got to want it to the point that you can't imagine sleeping at night. You want this thing to succeed so badly.
Yeah.
I rarely see failures when people want it that bad.
Yet the funny thing is that people also get quickly discouraged, right? So you want it really bad, and then you get disappointed. Your customer doesn't come like you wanted to, or the process didn't work out, or the, you know, supply chain didn't work out like you had hoped, and now all of a sudden you've got challenges. Talk about the importance of embracing failure at the beginning of a start.
You gotta know it's coming. So whenever we're starting something new, I spend a lot of time. I spend as much time doing this as I do on the financials, of going through and thinking of everything that can happen. Every possible scenario could go wrong. I mean, everything from people dying to getting prostate cancer to, you know, the supply chain doesn't work to the electric doesn't work. I go through every one of those and I write out what the solution will be. So all of a sudden, the fears of the boogeyman at 3 o'clock in the morning when I wake up and go, oh my God, what happens if this happens? And we all have that. We all have that thing that we're in a panic. We wake up that's irrational. You know what? I've thought of it.
Yeah.
I've thought of it. Everything can go wrong, what our reaction is. So when you start doing that, you take away the power of those fears. Now, the thing's still going to go wrong. Your supplier is still going to go out of business. And you got to scramble to do that. Things are still going to happen. People are going to quit you. Human lives get in the way sometimes. But you've got to know that you have a plan. You know what to do. You don't have to be scared of it and come forward with that. But if you're not willing to deal with a bumpy road, then you have no right getting behind the wheel of the car.
As we wrap up today's podcast, Ron, we live in a society that celebrates success, but we also scare people out of trying to be successful. It's a litigation-rich society. Social media, Yelp reviews, Google reviews. It makes it hard to have the fire to want to go out and be bold and launch. Encourage our listeners who are burning to start, but are sitting on the blocks wondering if they should.
So the first thing is, if you have the passion, you've thought it through, you've Googled it, you believe that you've got a unique value proposition, you don't have to invent an ice cream to make a whole lot of money selling ice cream.
True story.
So the value proposition's there. Then what you've got to do is clearly understand who matters to you. And you got to listen to the voice of those folks, but you don't listen to the voice of others. It just doesn't. People aren't walking your walk. I have no idea why we've become a world of internet trolls where people find great joy in harming others.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know that it's to be understood.
Yeah, and I'm saddened by it. But you can't let your God-given abilities, you can't let what you were put here on this world to do be diminished by people who don't love you. I mean, if your mom calls and says, you know, I'm not sure you're hardwired to do that, you ought to listen to that.
Probably ought to take notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the convenience store clerk who just met you says that, I'm not sure you really care about that person's opinion. So if somebody doesn't love you, if somebody isn't concerned for you, if somebody isn't passionate about your well-being, success, or the success of the organization you represent, I'm not sure that their opinion of what you're doing should matter to you much. I've never heard of or don't know of critics ever making an Oscar-winning film.
That's true.
You know, your job in life is to go make Oscar-winning creations, make Oscar-winning magazines and organizations. You need to make greatness, and fear of being challenged, you got to get over it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you took a lot of advice today from the Always Forward Leadership podcast. I encourage you, if you've got a burning in your soul and a great idea, as Ron said, go launch. Don't listen to the haters, but do the work. Thank you, Ron, for your thoughts today on leadership and on getting launched. We hope to talk to you all the next time.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at Ron Kitchens.
Thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. If you need an extra ounce of encouragement to start a new dream of yours, you got to check out the book Start, Punch Fear in the Face, Escape Average, Do Work That Matters by John Acuff. John is a great friend of Catalyst University, and this book is an incredible read. It's easy and engaging, and it'll give you the push to launch your leadership to the next level.